May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Make, O my soul, the subject of thy song the eternal Lord. O Lord, O God of might, to thee all royal pomps belong. Clothed art thou in state and glory bright. For what is else this eye-delighting light, but unto thee a garment wide and long? The vaulted heaven, but a curtain right, a canopy thou over thee hast hung. So begins Psalm 104 in the late 16th century verse translation by Mary Sidney, whose work is the focus of this final sermon in the present series on writers of faith from the early modern period. And what an opening stanza this is! Sidney transforms two verses of the biblical text, which begins, "Praise the Lord, O my soul," into eight lines of vivid poetry, addressing her soul and specifically inviting it to sing to God. Make, O my soul, the subject of thy song, the eternal Lord. God deserves every possible pomp, as she puts it in her song-like verse. And both light and sky are said to provide stately clothing for the Lord. The idea of light being like a garment for God is present in the Old Testament original of this psalm. But the evocative poetic phrase that you heard, this eye-delighting light, is very much Sidney's own. This is a poet's account of the beauty of light, God's first creation. She plays on the internal rhyme between delighting and light and brings our experience of light close to home, sensually, as it delights our own eyes. But who was this Mary Sidney who was able to render the psalm in such a richly poetic way? Her own answer would probably have been that she was the sister of the Elizabethan poet Sir Philip Sidney, who died in the Low Countries defending the cause of European Protestantism, and whose memory she enshrined in verse. I prefer to describe her in her own right as a distinguished translator and fine poet, one who was educated in rhetoric and languages in the same great humanist tradition as her slightly older contemporary and monarch, Elizabeth I, and a woman who by marriage was the Countess of Pembroke and used her influence to become a major patron of the arts. She wrote original verse and translated plays and prose from French and Italian. But her most notable work, in my view, was her translation of the Psalter into English verse. When her brother Philip died at the Battle of Zutphen in 1586, he had begun work on a versification of the Psalms, a task which Mary then took over, completing over 100 Psalms single-handedly and revising her brother's earlier drafts. The work was circulated in manuscript in the late 1590s, and one presentation copy was destined for Queen Elizabeth herself. Translating the Psalms was much more than a literary pursuit. It was an act of devotion. One of the hallmarks of Reformed worship in the 16th century was the singing of Psalms in the vernacular. And there were several popular collections of English metrical psalms available for congregational use. But the Sidney Psalter is different in two significant ways. First, while remaining faithful to the biblical text, She managed to personalize the Psalms so that they become an intimate dialogue with God, very human and sometimes specifically feminine. Second, she didn't use the simple ballad style favored by most metrical psalm translators, but transformed the Psalms into skillful poetry, using an enormous variety of expressive verse forms, almost as many as there are psalms to fit them. Her Psalter, it might be said, initiated the great wave of 17th century devotional poetry that was both a personal conversation with God and a rhetorical tour de force, typified by the works of Donne and Herbert, which have already been celebrated in this sermon series. Mary Sidney was a pioneer, a wise and learned woman who, like wisdom in our Old Testament reading, spoke strongly through her verse with understanding of excellent things. Her Psalter enabled those who came after her to fulfill what Paul urged the Colossians to do: teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Book of Psalms is among my favorites in the Bible because it seems to encompass the entire range of experiences and states of mind that we undergo in our spiritual lives. Joy, misery, praise, anger, relief, despair. You name it, the Psalms feature it. I've chosen one psalm in Mary Sidney's version for you to read in your own time. You'll find the text on your pew sheet, to highlight both the wonder of the Psalms and the skill of this poet translator. Let's look at the first and last stanzas of it together now. Thy mercy, Lord, Lord, now thy mercy show. On thee I lie, to thee I fly. Hide me, hive me as thine own, till these blasts be overblown, which now do fiercely blow. This first stanza shows us so much. The deliberate repetition in the almost mirroring initial line, thy mercy, Lord, Lord, now thy mercy show, picking up on the duality, which is such a feature of the Hebrew verse. The mixture of passive, on thee I lie, and active, to thee I fly, in the speaker's response to her Lord. The careful varying of line lengths and rhyme patterns in the style of the most complex lute song lyrics of the period. The exquisite sequence of hide me, hive me, suggesting the extra security and sweet safety of being gathered like bees into a hive. The first recorded use of the verb to hive in the Oxford English Dictionary. And the poet's sensitivity to the sound of words, as in, at the end of the stanza, blasts, overblown, and blow. The psalm has been reworked into verse of the highest quality, striking the reader in new and personal ways. Turning to the final stanza, this is typical of Mary Sidney's transformation of the Hebrew psalm to create a direct relationship with God. The biblical verse reads, set up thyself, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Sidney honors this prayer in the first half of her stanza, but then changes direction dramatically. As high as highest heaven can give thee place, O Lord, ascend, and thence extend with most bright, most glorious show over all the earth below, the sunbeams of thy face. The speaker doesn't ask God to remain aloof in highest heaven, even if that is the most appropriate place, but invites God to bless the earth below with the sunbeams of thy face. What a glowing phrase. The warmth and light are personal, stemming from God's face. The psalm's conclusion has become an expression of the immediate experience of the Lord's presence. The poetic music, emotive imagery, and devotional intimacy of the Sydney Psalter are a great legacy and deserve to be more widely appreciated. No wonder John Donne wrote that these poetic translations tell us why and teach us how to sing. And whether you listen to the psalms sung here in chapel, or read them in the Sydney version, or in any other translation, verse or prose, from the Book of Common Prayer to Jim Cotter, I would encourage you to revisit the Psalms regularly, finding in them an expression of your feelings about God, the world, and yourself, good or bad, confused or joyful. Sing and let the song be new unto him that never endeth, wrote Mary Sidney as her opening of Psalm 96. May the Psalms, as St. Paul hoped, inspire you anew to sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen.